But what also leads us is the church. And, you know, it's a real pleasure coming to New York. Adam was here in our conference, reunion. I get them mixed up, conferences and reunions. I always call them vice versa. But he was here, so I didn't, it was my turn to come out before he went to Florida. So we started planning this about a couple of months ago that we'd get a chance to come out here. And so it's really nice that we can go on the road and see the group up in Canada and come out here. We always enjoy ourselves. So I would be amiss if I didn't say that our congregation told you hello also and pass on regards. They did. They called me the other when I was talking to them the other night. They reminded me to do that. So they said hello. This morning, if all the technology works, and I hope it does, because this is the only place I have my notes. And focus a little bit. There we go. And we have to have our eyes too. This morning we're going to talk about something that's very important to us, and it's an unutilized resource. It's not that we don't use it, it's that it's underutilized. And used correctly, it will give us a number of things. And before you look at your scriptures, I'm going to go through these, and you can take notes on these, but these are the things it gives us. Know the mysteries of God, prophecy, revelations. Always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and retain a remission of our sins. If we do this correctly, and many things more. And does anybody have a clue what we're talking about here? What is it that will give us all these things? That's a tough one. No? Gospel? Any others? Prayer. Thank you. Prayer. Prayer gives us all those things and more. And I started looking at this, had a desire that, you know, we have some prayers that some would say aren't unanswered. Others would say, you know, they don't hear. God does not hear my prayers. So I wanted to get to the root of the matter and see what the scriptures had to say about prayer. Here's one. A few of these, I have the scriptures right here, and a few we're going to turn to. Mainly I have them here because I don't have time to read every one of them from going to the scriptures. But here's one. And whosoever ye ask, whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may glorify in the Son. If we shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And somebody has probably already said this to you, well, I did that. I asked the Lord, and he didn't give it to me. What's the deal? Is this scripture not correct? And it's just like anything else. You can't take one verse. There's always qualifications to it. For instance, if the Satan's asked anything from the Lord, is he going to give Satan that thing? So there's always qualifications to something. You know, you can read a verse in the Bible, and some read, you are saved by faith. Well, it doesn't say faith alone. It's more than just faith out there. What about the Lord's sacrifice on the cross? You know, what about baptism? What about, you know, repentance? There's never anything with, you know, there's qualifying. Yes, in fact, faith does save us, but there's other things that save us also. And just like this sentence, it is true. Every word of it. But there's other things to consider, such as who's, you know, he's not going to bless Satan. So we're going to look at how we can focus our prayers to get an answer of yes. And that's what this study or this sermon is about, how to focus our prayers to get the answer that we need. Ye ask and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume upon your lust. The adulterers and adulteresses, know that ye not that the friendship of the world is an enemy to God, and whoso therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy to God. These particular people they were that he's talking to here were adulterers and adulteresses, and they're asking for lustful things. Well, can you imagine how repulsive that would be to God if we asked for something repulsive like, adultery? You know, it's just the things of the world are enemy to God. So we're to ask for the things, this verse tells us, that are not repulsive to God. So our prayers must be focused on the right things. Another one. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So we can hinder our prayers by being not giving honor to the wife. Our prayers are hindered. So there's qualifications here. Another one. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Many times we think of commandments of God are only do not do this, do not do that, and so forth. In this particular case, doing commandments are pro things, positive things. We've already talked that you can hinder your prayer by being not being righteous. You can also hinder your prayer if you don't do the things he tells us, like meet together oft. That's one of the things that we're commanded to do. And there's no, it's not an evil thing to do some different things. But when we're to meet together oft, we're to take the flesh and the blood. We're commanded to do that. We're to encourage and each and every one of us. These are commandments of God. And so there's the sin that we're not to do, and there are the things of God that we're supposed to do. And both of those have an outcome to answering our prayers in the affirmative. Let us turn. We'll start turning to. This is a good one for directing our prayers and giving us some insight on what we're supposed to pray and how to pray. And this should be the Sermon on the Mount, if I'm not mistaken. Matthew 6:5. We'll start with. Okay, I'll start with 5 here. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corners of streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So it tells us very clearly that they're not going to get what they ask for. We've seen it. We've seen people praying for the sake of being seen of men. And any time you're praying for the being sake of seen of men, you have your reward already. Don't expect your answers to be, your prayers to be answered if you're praying to be seen of men. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. And the Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. You know, that doesn't rule out that we're going to read some verses where we pray in our church also. But the example he's using here is most of our prayers should be in our secret places, not to be seen of men. You know, most of our prayers should be in our homes throughout our day as we're talking with the Lord. That's where most of our prayers should be. And they're not limited to in here. But certainly he's telling us the example not to be seen of men, but we're to have a communication with God. And it's supposed to be for that purpose, not to be seen of men. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they are heard for their much speaking. And, you know, if anybody's been to India, you can see that. They pray their prayers, and they'll put them on a spindle, and they'll spin the spindle. And every time that goes around, that's supposed to be praying once, twice, and they throw that baby around, and that's how they do. They just pray over and over again and have their prayers go up to their God that way. Same in the day of Christ. They had their gods, and they would pray for vain repetition. Thinks that they say it more times, he's going to hear them. And not therefore like unto them, for your Father in heaven knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. After the manner therefore pray ye, our Father which in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. And so they're praying for the kingdom to come, and one of those things. And it's interesting that after he came and delivered the kingdom under his followers, they didn't say that in the Book of Mormon. His kingdom was on earth, just as I believe it is today. Thy kingdom of the Church of Christ is on earth at this time. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And that's where I'll stop right there. And we're supposed to pray for the daily bread. That's not for extravagant things. That's just to eat. So it gives us an example. And to forgive us our debts, we're supposed to have repentance, not only at the time of our baptism, but when we go amiss, we're supposed to pray for our forgiveness. And that, in like manner, we're supposed to forgive those that trespass against us. We're to remember what his goal is. You know, the Lord looks at our time on earth differently than we do. And I would like to take a look at Matthew 7:11. Give us some insight on that. Just across the page, it says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and ye shall open unto you. And everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if ye have a son, ask for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask of him? You know, he kind of repeats that earlier thing that we read, that first sentence, and then he goes on to explain how God looks at this. He is looking at it in a way that's all for heaven's sake. You know, that we have a new fishing rod or some new car, you know, that's not on God's mind. He's looking at it, how is this going to help them spiritually? You know, what way will this help our brothers and sisters in the church? What way will this help the church? And that's how God is looking at it. Not our physical comforts. He's looking at it, how spiritually would this be a good thing? You know, and everything is designed by God to, you know, he doesn't want to see us suffer for sure. But some suffering, he says, as we went over in Bible class, some suffering is placed upon us by God. It's that simple. You know, not all of it, certainly not. But, he is looking at the big picture. How is this affecting our soul? And how is this affecting our brothers and sisters? And how does it affect the church? And that's how he looks at it, on these gifts and these grantings of our prayers. And if you keep that in mind as we go through this, that's the key. 2 Corinthians is a good example. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. This is Paul. You might remember that Paul had an affliction, and whether it was from the time he was struck down on the way to Damascus or not, we're not told, but somebody says if I, you know, I'd tear out my very eyes. So it may have been the eyes that were a problem here. And it says, verse 7, 12:7 says this, "And least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. There was given unto me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, that I should, least I should be exalted above measure." So, you know, Paul was given many spiritual things, and so he wouldn't become too high-minded, too proud. Proudness is the opposite of what God is looking for. Proudness and pride are self-love, humbleness. Is the opposite where it's talking about love of thy neighbor. So pride is the opposite of what God's looking for. So he gave Paul this thorn in his flesh so he wouldn't become prideful. "For this thing I sought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glorify in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in my reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for the Lord's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Paul understood that it is sometimes these weaknesses of the flesh that actually mold us into the creature that we're become. It is usually under the time of the most pressure that, you know, I just crossed my mind, you know, how is a diamond made? And that's under increased pressure. And it's no doubt in our life that we make changes under pressure. And we, you know, that can change us for the worse or to the better. But the trials in life are our opportunities to make changes in our life. And we're supposed to turn to the Lord in every one of these trials or afflictions that we have. And it's the same with Paul. You'd think Paul is, you know, what's the damage of giving Paul his eyesight or whatever affliction was? Even Paul, you know, knew that the Lord was trying to not make him too prideful. And so he told him, no, it's not good. He's looking at the big picture. It's not good for your spiritual welfare to heal you at this time. And he never did. Another example. It says, I'll read this one, 2 Timothy 4:20, for those that are listening out there. It says, "Aratius abode at Corinth, but Timotheus I left at Miletum sick." Well, you know, we think of the early apostles, you know, we walk by people and they are automatically healed. Well, here's another example outside of Paul. They left him at they left him sick. Why didn't Paul just heal him right there? Why didn't Paul call upon the Lord and they heal him right there? It wasn't to be, you know. The Lord says sometimes yes, sometimes no, and sometimes later. We'll see. In this case, it was no at that time. Mark 14:35 and 36. I will turn to this one. I really hesitate using this one because I have to watch my step. Mark 14:35 and 36. And he went forth a little, and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thou wilt. He knew the Father could do anything. He knew it was right. You know, we look at Jesus Christ. Wasn't he perfect? Didn't he do everything the Lord has asked? Didn't he pray with real intent? Kept his commandments of his Father? Was perfect. But yet, did the Father give him this prayer? Did he say yes? So there's another caveat. Let's turn to Mosiah to explain this other qualification. Mosiah 2:36. This is on page 222, and it says this, verse 36. And now, if God, who hath created you, on whom ye dependent for your lives, for all things that ye are, and doeth grant unto you whatsoever ye ask, that is right, in faith, believing that ye shall receive. Oh, then, how had ye ought to impart the substance that ye have one to another. But the point I want to make there is it's not just who asks, you know, the devil, whatever. Asking in faith is important. You know, he tells us that over and over again. But also, what is right? And this is how we can answer, you know, why the Lord didn't get his petition. It wasn't right. And he told the Lord, if it's not thy will, then do it. I'll go through that suffering, that great suffering. And so, you know, it's not this thing which is right or wrong. That's not what he's saying. It's right according to what God wills. And God looks at this thing. Is it going to enhance our spiritual being? Is it going to help our brother or sister? Or is it going to help our church? And that's the thing. Jesus Christ had to die on the cross. The Father knew that. So it wasn't right. It wasn't that it was wrong. It just was not God's will, you know, for to enhance our lives. So we can live with him. That's the goal. 1 Kings. Some examples of what is right. 1 Kings 3:11 through 13. Chapter 3. This is Solomon. He's asked the Lord for some things. And let's read what he's asked for. Verse 11 says this, And God said unto him, Because thou hast asked for this thing, he asked for wisdom, and has not asked for thyself long life, neither have asked for riches for thyself, nor has asked for the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall have any arise like unto thee. You know, we always talk about the wise person of Solomon. You know, he was going to saw that child in half just to get to the truth of the matter. And certainly his wisdom exceeded anything we have today. And I have also given thee that thou hast not asked
both riches and honor, so that thou shalt not be among the kings like unto thee all of thy days. And if thou shalt walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Because Solomon here asked for something that would enhance his kingdom, that it was a it would be a benefit to the kingdom of his, and he would dedicate that unto the Lord. Because he asked for a righteous thing, all those other things were granted him. You know, he was going to get his riches. He was exceedingly rich, you know, his kingdom. And he was going to give a long life. But he didn't ask for those things. He was concerned for his people, that he'd be able to be a righteous leader. And that's what he was asking for, wisdom to do the right thing. And if we ask for those, the Lord will grant us the other things. But we got to seek first the kingdom of God. Jacob. Second chapter, 2, 23 and 24. Says this, Jacob 2. But before ye seek riches, seek ye the kingdom of God. And after ye have obtained a hope in Christ, ye shall obtain riches. And if ye seek them, and ye will seek them, for the intent to do good, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to liberate the captive, to administer relief to the sick and afflicted. You know, one more verse I think I'll read. No, that's it. He tells us that seek first the kingdom of God, and then he's going to be granted these other things, that we can help our brothers and sisters, help our church. And, you know, if we were gaining those riches before, what does it say about the rich man? You know, it's harder for him to get to heaven. It's extremely difficult, and he gave us examples of that. But, you know, once we have that faith and what the Lord is working with us, then we have a greater wisdom to use our resources. And he tells us it's not a bad thing to be rich after we've received the hope of Christ. Now, then it's not a bad thing because we were given wisdom with that. But many couldn't handle that right off the bat. Most could not handle those riches, I'll tell you. If, you know, I use an example, you know, if our church in Bradley was given, if everybody won the $1 million lottery or 2 million or whatever it would be, how many would have the wisdoms to be in church the next Sunday or thereafter? You know, it's most people cannot handle that. And it takes that's not important to the Lord. So he's not going to give them that. You know, what kind of father would he be? You know, what kind of father would you be? You have a 16-year-old son and buy him a really souped-up motorcycle, you know. You know, that probably wouldn't be the thing to buy your 16-year-old son. So we have to give them good gifts so they know how to use them. And that's what he's talking about here. Seek the things that will enhance thy soul. Alma 16, 2:18 through 2:25. And it's some examples of what to pray for. Alma 16, a really great chapter. And page 429, 2:18 says this. Therefore, may God grant unto you, my brethren, that ye might exercise your faith unto repentance and begin to call upon his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto him for mercy, that he might is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourself and continue to pray unto him. Cry unto him when ye are in your fields. Yea, over all your flocks, cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, morning, midday, and evening. So he's telling us to pray. You know, other verses tell us to pray always.
We're always to have that supposed to come into our mind. Even if we're at work, wherever we're at, in our fields, among our work flock, in our households, we're to always lift up our voices to Him. And it's not a bad thing to pray for our physical welfare, that our business does well. That's not a bad thing. It tells us in other passages, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Yea, cry unto Him against the powers of your enemies. Yea, cry unto Him against the devil. These are the spiritual things, which is an enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto Him over your crops of the field, that they may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your field, that they may increase, whether it's planted or it's sheep, for instance. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets and your secret places in your wilderness. Yea, when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn into prayer unto Him continually for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those around you. You know, this I gather is not only physical, but more importantly, spiritually welfare. You know, we're supposed to plead with our brothers and sisters to exhort and to pray for them. And those prayers, if He tells us to do it, it has an effect. And now, my brethren, I say unto you, do you not suppose this is all? For you have done all these things, and turn away the needy and the naked, and visit the sick and afflicted, and impart your substance, if ye have, to those that stand in need. I say unto you, if ye do not do these things, behold, your prayer is vain, and ye availeth nothing, and ye are hypocrites and deny the faith. So that would be one of those things that it tells us, that not only we keep the commandments that tell us not to do evil, but to do the good things, you know, to in this case, help the needy and the naked, and help the sick and afflicted, is one of the good things that we're told. Otherwise, our prayers are hindered. I have some examples. Let's take a look at 1 John 5:14. Have you ever heard somebody say, the Lord doesn't hear my prayers? I've heard that in the church. They're not correct. 5:14, 1 John says this, and this is the confidence that we may have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. This verse is, tells us that any prayer we put up to the Lord, He hears. So don't ever let anybody tell you that He doesn't hear your prayers. He hears every one of them. And He says we can have a confidence that if it, we have faith and it is right, that He'll grant us that yes answer that we seek. But He hears all prayers. That's what we can deduct from that. James 1, just a chapter, a book back here. James 1, 5 through 8. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that He may give to all men liberally, and unbraided not, and it shall be given him. But if he shall ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave in the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Let not the man. So in other words, we're supposed to have a confidence that the Lord hears us, and that He's going to grant us. If we ask for something like wisdom, that's what Solomon asked for. Why wouldn't the Lord want us to have wisdom? You know, that's a desire of the Lord for us to have that. You know,
You know, it's just like a father. Would you give your son wisdom? You know, wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. It's not wisdom of the world. That's wisdom in God that he's talking about here. Wouldn't you give your son that? It's the same with our Father. You know, we can have a confidence that he's going to give us these things. A couple of chapters away, 5, 16, and 17. We read a little bit in our Sunday's class of this. 16 says, confess your faults one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual and fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Elias was and he gives us an example of this. Verse 17, Elias was a man subject to like passions. He was just like us, in other words. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it was rained not in the earth for a space of 3 years. And he prayed again for about the heaven to rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. So he's telling us our prayers are answered, but we have to pray. It says to use fervent, effectual prayers and earnestly. You know, it can't be, you know, you say the same prayer over and over and that's an earnest and fervent prayer. You know, it's to pray with the intensity of the whole of our heart. That's what it's talking about. Just a couple more scriptures here. 3 Nephi 8:47. Here's an example where it tells us to pray in a church. 47 says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and be led always captive by him. Our communication of God to God is a way that we fight against the devil and temptations. That's you can find this verse many places. And as ye have prayed among you, even so shall pray in my church among my people, and do repent and baptize in my name. So we're supposed to pray in his church. And I am in the light, and I have set an example for you. 48, I think we're jumping to. 50, 49. 50. And it came to pass when his disciples had spoken those words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude. And he tells them, I'll just paraphrase, he tells them to pray always. For Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore, you must pray always. How many times does he repeat that? Something that's important like that, you'll see him repeat it over and over again to get the message. Pray unto the Father in my name. You know, that's another thing. You know, when we pray, you see these, whoever they are on TV, they'll think they're praying to the Lord. You never hear them say, in the name of Jesus. You know, it's politically incorrect at work, you know, so you'd have somebody pray sometime. But it was politically incorrect to say in the name of Christ. They teach that. I tell you what, if you do that, don't expect your prayers to be answered. Because he tells us we must pray in the name of Jesus. And he'll go to the Father. Pray in your families unto the Father always in my name, in the name of Christ, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And behold, ye shall meet together oft, and ye shall not forbid any man to come. Okay, that's a new thought. But that's one of the things that we're supposed to do for the righteous things. We're supposed to meet together oft. Okay. Alma 4:6. A very good verse. They really follow this verse to the letter down in the Yucatan. There's one church down there that invariably follows this verse. Alma 4:6 says this. Nevertheless, the children of God were commanded that they should gather themselves together oft, in joining and fasting and prayer, in behalf of the souls of them that knew not God. There was a brother, there was a sister in the church in Mayapan, and she would go to church and she would be beaten. He would beat her because she went to church. He would beat her otherwise too. He was a drunk, her husband, or she was living with him, I don't know which, but I think it was her husband. He was a drunk. Oh, he would have been her husband, because she was a sister down there. But he was a drunk, come home and beat her. And if he found out she was in church, I guess she got a second whipping. They prayed as a church an hour before the sacrament service. And they did it for a period of time. And it wasn't long that her husband, in the middle of the night, run over to her cot, or her, hammock, and wake her up. And he says, you know, there's this terrible beast. I don't know what it was, but he had big teeth and furry head. And, you know, we all know what that is, you know, big teeth, a big old mane around his collar, a big old lion. But he didn't know what that was. He says, it's going to devour me. And he knew that she was the only one that could stop it. He had to dream again. And he says, this time it grabbed a hold of me. And I barely made it, you know, to her hammock. You know, he started letting his wife go to church after that. And not only that, but he started going another way to work, avoiding his friends so he wouldn't have to drink with them. I don't know what the man is now, where he's at in his life, if he's came to church or what. You know, this was back when I was going down there. But I do know that the wife was allowed to go to church, and those prayers were answered because of the fasting of the church. Here's an example of Alma. For he hath prayed much with much faith concerning thee. Remember the story of Alma, the son of Alma? And you probably all remember the story that Alma was struck down with his friends and he was struck dumb. Alma 11, 168, 160, probably through 170. For he hath prayed with much faith concerning thee, that thou mayest be brought to the knowledge of the truth. Therefore, for this purpose I have come to convince thee, this is an angel, of the power of and authority of God, that your prayers of his servants might be answered according to their faith. 175, I jumped ahead. And now I say unto thee, Alma, go thy way and seek to destroy the church no more, that their prayers may be answered, this even as thou wilt thyself be cast off, if thou thyself will be cast off. Two things that angel was told to do. One, convince him of the power of God so he would not persecute that church anymore, and that he would know the power and authority of God. It says, even if you're going to be cast off, you're not going to persecute my church anymore. That's what the prayers were. He was persecuting the church. He was doing a damage to the church. And that was not going to be permitted anymore. He says, even if you're going to be a castaway, that's not going to happen. You know, people ask me if we have freedom of choice in that case. And yeah, Alma may be a castaway yet. It was depending on what he did with that. There's all sorts of examples that people know the truth. In fact, the knowledge of good and evil is given to every one of us. We make a choice. It's not really the knowledge of good and evil or the plan of God that's the problem. It's our choice. You know, Cain knew God face to face. And what did he do? He went out and killed his brother. Many examples. He told one example in one of the, you know, even if, what was it? Lazarus and the rich man. Remember that one? He says, even if I sent you back, they wouldn't be converted. It wasn't that they wouldn't believe it. They would not be converted. It's a lifestyle. That's the real problem. You know, it's like saying just because we know the truth, we're not going to sin. We still sin. You know?
the Lord allows, you know, to explain to Alma the truth. He didn't make him follow him. He will not do that. We're not robots. He still has a freedom of choice. But he does many things for our children if we pray for that. And that's why he came to him. They prayed with faith. I've listed Tony here. You know, he was given one of my nephew, and he's not a bad kid by any means at that time, but he had made a covenant to the Lord, and they were praying for him. He was given, that was probably 8 years ago maybe, he was given this vision. You know, it was he was awake, and he heard the Lord's voice, and they were praying for him 4 times. He said, I just at the edge of sleeping, and he heard a voice that said, be baptized in my name. He opened his eyes. He waited, and the voice came again. Be baptized in my name. And so, he didn't know what to say. And it came again a third time, and it says, be baptized in my name. And he says, I don't know if I'm ready. You know, if the Lord tells you to do something, don't you think that he would know if you're ready or not? So he didn't answer him. No voice came back. And he said, I'm afraid. And the voice answered, all things can be done through Jesus Christ. So, Tony's very stubborn. He cried. He couldn't sleep that night. And a month later, he went to a reunion out in Wisconsin or Minnesota. And he hadn't been baptized, and he didn't ask for baptism. He didn't even tell anybody but his fiance. And this lady stood up, and she says, there's somebody in here, I've been told, that needs to be baptized. And she says, why won't you do this thing? So, of course, Tony knew it was about him, and he felt very small, and he came back, and finally, he was baptized. Most recently, a prayer of, you know, we had been praying for Adam's dad, Adam the minister, Adam Porter up in Michigan, praying for his dad, and he was working with him years upon years to get him converted. He knew since the time he was a minister that the Lord revealed to him that he was to prepare his father to be baptized. His dad was of the sciences and had a hard time with that. A few weeks ago, perhaps a month ago, we were talking about these very scriptures, that the Lord would intervene on behalf of our children or our loved ones. And we were talking about this. So I'm sure it brought up prayers for our loved ones. And Adam's dad was no doubt in our prayers, especially in Adam's. The next week, Adam's dad and mother, his mother was out in the yard. She seen her father walk across the yard into the house. And her dad's been dead for maybe 20 years. But she's seen him very clearly walk across the street. She was out in the yard. She's seen him walk across the yard right into the house where her husband was at, Ken. I don't know. Ken says he didn't see him. But, you know, I'm sure he delivered a message to Ken. The next day, Ken asked for baptism. So the Lord intervenes, and we have to know that's true. You know, because it is true. We see it. Just two more verses, or maybe just this might be my last verse. Luke 18, 2 through 7. Saying there was there was in the city a judge, and when he feared not God, neither regard for man, and there was a widow in the city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said it within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. So he's telling us to be persistent in our prayers. You know, it's the same thing. If you go to the Lord oft, it might not get your answer that day. But he wants to hear from us over and again. If we're really committed to that thing, he wants to hear it. So, this is the conclusion. The Lord always hears our prayers. We've read that. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says not yet. If we want to hear, yes. We must pray with real intent, earnestly and fervently, as it says in James. We must keep ourselves from sin and iniquity. We must keep his commandments. Those things that we're supposed to be doing, meeting together off, for instance, taking the Lord's blood, giving our alms to the poor and such things like that. There's things that we do in his church that are needful. Stepping up to the plate. If we have a gift in his church, are we using that gift? Ask for the things that edify you, others in the church, or the church itself. Those are the things he wants to give us. He desires. He desires to give them as much as give them to us as much as we desire them. Maybe even more so. He wants to give us those good gifts, such as revelations that we read about. They had the gift of revelations and prophecy because it said they fasted and prayed much. It's up to us. He wants to give them to us. Wisdom. It's just the same thing about wisdom. They had wisdom because they prayed much. Pray with confidence and trusting the Father has a great desire to give us good gifts. That's another word for faith. Know that the Father wants to give us the things that are right. Not the things that are not wrong, the things that he would desire of us. The gifts. And be persistent was our final verse that we read. We're to be not slothful in our prayers towards that thing. If it's an important desire to us, we're going to ask over and over again. If he hasn't gave us a yes or a no. I thank you for your time. Brother?